All right, let's settle down. We're still in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And someone apparently came in late and left their lights on. You have a 98 Blue Olds, PFC 492, your lights are on. Before we're going to have to finish this up before we can get to questions and answers. But before we do that, if everyone will please be seated for a moment or duck down. That's it. We'll hustle and find your place. Tonight, most of you, I think, saw the flyby. The 4-102s led by Major Udell. I believe Major Udell is here now. He's back here somewhere. Would you stand up? Maury, they couldn't see you back there. Would you step down here a minute so they can see you? Appreciate it very much. Herman, give him a chair there. That's good. All right, we're continuing our study now in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. We have arrived at the solution. Let's take up the six stages of the function of GAP. Stage 1 is Operation ICE. Operation ICE. It looks like this. Bible doctrine being taught. I-C-E. I stands for eisegogics, which is interpreting the Bible within the framework of its historical setting. The Bible must be interpreted in the time in which it was written. C is for categories. Categorical teaching is evolved by comparing Scripture with Scripture to determine doctrinal classification. E is for exegesis, the analysis of the Bible verse by verse to interpret the exact meaning of each verse. This is the pastor teacher communicating the information, Operation ICE. Stage 2 is Operation Gnosis. Operation Gnosis is Bible doctrine in the left lobe, the perceptive lobe of the believer. Bible in stage 2, the doctrine is simply comprehended by means of the filling of the Spirit. Under the ministry of the Holy Spirit, this involves positive volition toward doctrine, concentration, and comprehension. Three things. Positive volition, concentration, comprehension. Comprehension involves understanding the teaching. Doesn't mean you agree with it. It doesn't mean you disagree. It simply means you understand it. Gnosis does not mean you have to agree. Gnosis means you understand it, and gnosis comes through the filling of the Holy Spirit, the teaching of the Word plus the filling of the Spirit. Stage 3 is Operation Epinosis. Once the doctrine is understood, gnosis is converted to epinosis, By means of the volition of the soul. If you agree with the doctrine which you have heard and now understand, this is positive volition, and faith transfers it into the human spirit. This is done by means of faith. You simply believe it, and that stores it in the human spirit. The only doctrine which is usable to you as a believer is doctrine in the human spirit. Stage 4 is operation frame of reference. This is doctrine cycled from the human spirit to the right lobe, the norm standard lobe. And we've already seen the function of the frame of reference. Stage 5 is operation exhale. Exhale out the left bank toward God. Exhale out the right bank toward man. Under stage 5, the exhale out the left bank is toward God, and this does 3 things. 1, it removes any accumulation of scar tissue from negative volition toward doctrine. Exhale removes scar tissue of the soul. Secondly, it provides capacity and expression for Category 1 love. 3, it produces fellowship with God in time. Exhale out the right bank does 3 things. First, it removes any accumulation of scar tissue on the right bank. The scar tissue comes from mental attitude sins and from adultery. Secondly, it provides both capacity and expression for Categories 2 and 3 love. Category 2, right man, right woman. Category 3, friendship. Thirdly, it produces divine good. Basically, there are 3 sources of divine good. The simplest form is from the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's from God. The adolescent form of divine good is from the human spirit, the exhale of epinosis. And the advanced production of divine good is the production of the edification complex. Stage 6 is the erection of the edification complex of the soul. First floor, grace orientation. Second floor, relaxed mental attitude. Third floor, perfect happiness. Fourth floor, capacity for love. Fifth floor, mastery of the details of life. Now that's the function of gap. Now let's go back and look at our verse. Because of this, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray intensively for you on your behalf, and to keep on asking with the result that you might be filled with the epinosis of His will. The epinosis of His will. Now, this is important to you. You must know the will of God. This you cannot get along without the will of God. This you must know. This you must have. The epinosis of His will. Doing the will of God is nothing more or less than the daily function of gap. The function of gap is the basis of doing His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, there are 3 things you need. Wisdom, you must know His will, you must know the wisdom, the spiritual understanding. All right, now how are you going to accomplish this? Well, wisdom is the first one. Wisdom is Sophia. Sophia looks like this in the Greek. S-O-P-H-I-A. Now, wisdom simply takes epinosis out of its categories and converts it toward God, toward building, toward the frame of reference, toward man. Wisdom simply uses epinosis, which is stored. Epinosis is the power of the word stored in the human spirit, and the word Sophia or wisdom is the utilization of it. The next word, spiritual, refers to the basis by which this wisdom is acquired, the grace apparatus of perception, and the word understanding is the key, sunesis. Here is the word for understanding. S-U-N-E-S-I-S, sunesis. Now, sunesis means technical knowledge of a subject. It means to have an understanding of the underlying laws and principles. It means to understand the meaning of an object, and therefore it refers to frame of reference. See, all of these are lines that come out of the human spirit. One is toward God, one is to build, one is for the frame of reference, one is toward man. It's this one that is sunesis, because up here in that right lobe is the key to your discernment, to your application, to your life, to your viewpoint, to everything that will preserve your country. Now in verse 10, that introduces a purpose clause, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. This is the daily function of your life. Unto all pleasing is with a view toward every pleasing, being fruitful. Being fruitful is the production of divine good. The doctrine of divine good under 7 points. Being fruitful, carpal phoreo. Looks like this. K-A-R-P-O-F-P-H-O-R-E-O. Carpal phoreo. Carpal phoreo. Carpal is fruit. Phoreo means bearing. Fruit bearing or producing. Present active participle. Constantly producing in the sphere of every good work. This is good of intrinsic value, therefore divine good. Point one. Divine good is the basis for victory in the angelic conflict. Romans 12:21. Divine good is the basis for victory in the angelic conflict. Romans 12:21. Ultimately, in the angelic conflict, you are left on this earth for the production of divine good. That's the beautiful thing about battle. You can be killing the enemy and producing divine good. That's a good thing about peacetime. You can be witnessing for Christ. You can be doing your peacetime job and producing divine good. You don't have to get behind a pulpit. You don't have to go to a mission field. Right where you are, that is your full-time Christian service. Why? This is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. This is the period of Operation Footstool. This is the period when every believer is a priest and every believer is in full-time Christian service. So we have divine good as the basis for victory in the angelic conflict. Romans 12:21. Point two, gap is provided for the production of divine good. Colossians 1:10, our passage, plus 2 Timothy 2:21 and 3:17. Three, God's design for phase two is the believer producing divine good. The whole plan of God is designed that you might be a producer of divine good, Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Four, divine good produced is a sign of stability. When you start producing divine good on the job, sweeping out a warehouse, or being the executive of a company, whatever you do in your daily life, when you start producing divine good, that's a sign of stability. 2 Thessalonians 2:17. Five, divine good is only produced on the basis of grace. You cannot produce it by human effort, by human ingenuity, by human ability, or human dynamics. Divine good is produced by grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Six, divine good will be rewarded. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Remember that in our study, Divine good in battle is to kill the enemy. If you fail to kill the enemy, if you're a coward, you're going to have wood, hay, and stubble instead of gold, silver, and precious stones. So when you get a crack at the enemy, kill him. All right. You heard that. Point seven. There are three sources of divine good. One, the filling of the Spirit. Therefore, when you are in battle, don't forget to rebound before you go into battle, so you'll kill the enemy under the filling of the Spirit. You young men who are going to go to battle, and old ones and all kind of men, when you go to battle, you make sure you rebound first so you can kill the enemy under the principle of divine good. Second source of divine good is epinosis in the human spirit. So you make sure that you learn some doctrine before you go to battle so you can produce divine good from that source. And the third is the edification complex of the soul, and it's a wonderful thing for a believer to go to battle with an edification complex, because his reward is going to be fantastic as he kills the enemy or does his job, whatever it is. You can produce divine good on the battlefield, and the sign that a combat team has produced divine good will be the bodies of the enemy stacked up as high as heaven itself. See, there are all kinds of ways of producing divine good. Witnessing for Christ, prayer, worship, your job, whatever it happens to be. Now, you can even produce divine good as a hausfrau. It's not easy. It can be done. Every time dirt goes out of the house, you're doing it as unto the Lord, as divine good. You sweep it under the rug, that's human good. Now the word increasing is a present passive participle of alzano. It means constantly receiving growth. Looks like this in the Greek. Alzano. A-U-Z-A-N-O, constantly receiving growth. And this is the construction of the edification complex. Present tense, daily function of gap means you're going to get there. Passive voice, you receive an edification complex. And how do you receive this edification complex? By means of the knowledge, the epinosis, not of God, this is genitive of source, from God. Epinosis from God. Now let's get a corrected translation. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord. That's why you're here. Angelic conflict, SOP of this life. That you might walk worthy of the Lord with a view to every pleasing of God. Constantly producing in the sphere of every good work. Constantly receiving growth by means of epinosis from the source of God. That is the objective. And when this occurs, let's see what happens. Let's see what God has provided for us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5. Isaiah 33, 5. Well, as you were, Isaiah 33:6 is a better starting place because of our time. Isaiah 33:6. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. If we are going to survive as a nation, believers must have wisdom and knowledge. What is this word, wisdom and knowledge? Knowledge is dea, and dea refers to Bible doctrine in the perceptive lobe, and that means you must be positive toward listening to doctrine. Once you have dea, you transfer it by faith where it becomes kakma. Here is the word for wisdom. Here is the word for knowledge. In other words, the function of gap is the basis of delivering our nation. Since gap is only open to those who are believers, the key to the survival of our nation depends upon you. Wisdom and knowledge are the stability of thy times. The word for strength is riches, and the riches of deliverance. The fear of the Lord, occupation with Christ, is his treasure. When things are falling apart, behold, the valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The ambassadors of peace, the State Department, can do nothing. The military is being defeated. What is left? One thing. The edification complex of the soul based on gap. Look at Isaiah 37:31. Isaiah 37:31. Here is how the Jews were delivered from Sennacherib. Here is how the United States will be delivered from communism. And the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall take root downward and bear fruit upward. Taking root downward is Bible doctrine from the perceptive lobe going down into the human spirit. Taking root upward is Bible doctrine going into the right lobe, and there is again the deliverance of the country. Those who are delivered are those who have Bible doctrine cycling under the principle of gap. They take root downward, they bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant. People will escape. They shall escape out of Mount Zion. Why? The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Grace, God's character will do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, that is Jerusalem, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it, a system for breaking into a city through the walls. By the way which he came, the same way shall he return, and shall not come to this city, saith the Lord. Why? For I will defend this city to deliver it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then, please notice how the city was delivered. Then the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus Christ, went forth and smote the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And notice how well he did it. Now, this is Jesus Christ. And when they arose early in the morning, the Assyrian army, behold, they were all dead, corpses. They were dead. God delivered in response to one thing. They took root downward, they bore fruit upward. The function of gap, the function of the frame of reference, the existence of the edification complex, for wisdom and knowledge are the stability of thy times. Let me illustrate this. We heard something about Stonewall Jackson. By the way, that was written by his wife. I'd like to add something to that from another book. This is Douglas Southall Freeman, Volume 2 of Lee's Lieutenants. When Jackson was shot at Chancellorsville, some things began to occur that lead me to believe that he had an edification complex. For example, the principle of the Word of God and that all things work together for good and so on, he was told that he was going to die. Again, Jackson seemed to ponder. He turned his eyes from McGuire's face to the ceiling, and he gazed upward for a few moments. In battle, when orders were well executed, or some shining deed was performed, he would often say, "Good, good." But now he thought the orders of the higher command must have been given, higher command had been given, and his response was even stronger. He said, "Very good, very good, it's all right." With that, he turned to the weeping women and tried to comfort them. He's dying, he's doing the comforting. And I will not go into all he said, and by way of comfort, it's very beautiful. Once more, he slipped back into the land of far and near, where faces changed instantly and scenes melt one into the other. He murmured again. He gave orders. He sat at mess with his staff. He was back in Lexington with his little family. He was fighting, and he was praying. From another world came presently the voice of McGuire with a kindly but solemn warning that the sands were running low. It was 1:30. Jackson might not have more than 2 hours to live. Feebly but firmly, the assurance was given. Very good. Very good. It's all right. More than that, some other things were uttered. Hill, Hawks, orders to the infantry. Then a long, long silence. From such silence, he might have come that May night the previous year when he pushed the Stonewall Brigade forward through Winchester and had halted and heard only the breath of his companions and then had seen the fire of the Federal sharpshooters run along the hillside. Great events had been impending then. Long marches, hard battles, wide streams had been ahead. Now, the clock striking 3, the spring sunshine in the room, the rustle of new leaves in the breeze, peace, the end of the Sabbath day journey. 15 minutes more, the breathing now was in his very throat. And then from the bed, clearly, quietly, cheerfully, let us cross over the river and rest under the shade of the trees. I think Stonewall Jackson was taken because the South could never be destroyed as long as he was alive. One man with an edification complex of the soul. Just one. One edification complex means preservation. And you face times when you have to make a decision before you leave here. Either Bible doctrine is going to be more important to you than life itself. Bible doctrine not only means your spiritual life, it means the life of your nation. Tomorrow, for those of you who will still be here, we'll take up the human spirit and the implications of it. We have announced that there will be period of time for questions and answers. We'll take about 4 minutes for those of you who want to leave to be able to move out, and those who want to stay to move down a little closer, and then we'll have some questions and answers. All right, you can break.